the Son of God.
Temple, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build this temple, Jesus. And yet you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. The temple of his body. You see, this group of people hear spiritual things, but they haven't connected the dots yet. They haven't connected the dots yet. They hear people talk about things of Christ, but it's not understood to them. It's a foreign language. It doesn't compute for them. What do you, examples, what do you mean Jesus rose from the dead? Come on. They may say things like that. That's really impossible. So they'll hear things of religious people say things. They heard Jesus say, I'll raise this temple in 3 days, but they didn't understand he was talking about his temple, his body. A lot of people today will hear things about people speaking of Jesus, but it doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't compute. If that's you today, I pray that as I'm speaking to you, that the Holy Spirit, the God who made you, that your ears will be open and that you'll hear Jesus speak to you today. Amen? He loves you. Doesn't matter how many times you've heard the gospel and you like shunned it off or you thought maybe it was foolishness or you got too busy to hear it. Today might be the day of salvation for you. Amen? How he loves you regardless of things gone on in the past. If you're one of those that says this is foolishness, I pray today that your eyes would be open to the truth of the gospel. Scenario number one, that's foolishness. Couldn't have risen from the dead. As he is dying there on a tree, cursed are those who are hung on a tree, taking the curse of sin and death for us, for every human being, amen? As they're walking by, hurling insults at him, saying his name in vain, but yet he still is there on the cross for that group of people, amen? Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. My hope for you today is that you will experience the power of God if that's what you need in your life today. He is the answer. There is power. We can't do it on our own. He is the power that can change lives. It's the answer for this nation for changing lives, for changing a family, an individual. There is a power that can do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you're in that group today, he wants to touch your heart. Scenario number two, as we're moving through the scriptures, Matthew 27, 41 through 43, it says, and in the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, that's mocking Jesus, and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the king of Israel. Let him, if he is the king of Israel, basically, they're saying, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He has trusted in God, let God rescue him now. If he takes pleasure in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So this second group of what was going on at the base of the crowd is the religious crowd. The religious crowd, they were mocking Christ, actually. They were absolutely sure that the path that they were on led to eternal life. There's approximately 4,300 known religions in the world. People looking for something to bring peace to their life. Something for people look for to bring comfort to their life. Something to bring to say, hey, I'm okay that in the afterlife, maybe things will work out. Religion always makes you think that maybe things will work out, or maybe I'll work hard enough that somebody will let me into the pearly gates, or let me into some form of afterlife utopia. 4,300 religions. And so these were the religious leaders of the law, had seen the miracles of Jesus, seen the things he had done, but still did not believe. Still didn't believe a thing that Jesus had said during the 3.5 years of ministry and the things they saw. Still, when he was up on that tree, on the cross, they were still mocking the Son of God. Many religions, but just a reminder, there's only one way to heaven. And the wonderful thing is that one way is that he loves you and I eternally. He made us, amen, being made in his image, we are precious in his sight. Aren't you glad? 4,300 different religions. It's funny, in Acts 17:23, this is Paul. He says, for while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, what you worship is ignorance, this I proclaim to you. So there's a, he was saying, Paul, but you've even got a plaque to the unknown God, just in case we didn't get all the gods that might bring eternal life to us, that might bring peace to us, that might somehow bless us. But I'm telling you today that only through Jesus Christ, the only one who ever died for your sins, so that you and I, as a reminder, if you know him today, it is by grace are you saved, through faith, amen? Not by works, but by his love for us, by him indwelling us by the Holy Spirit, being freed in him, accepted by him, dearly loved through him. Only one way. 4,300 different ways of religion. I think of some of the different religions that you have out there. I think of Islam, all the works that are required to please God. Works, praying five times a day, working to make sure that somehow they can make it into a paradise. I've heard recordings of people coming to Christ, but they're so fearful. Are you telling me that if I just believe in the name of Jesus, that he loves me, I don't have to do all these works? And you can hear the fear in their voices. It's like, I can't believe this. But I'm telling you today that that is true. True. Because of his sacrifice, not unto works, but simply saying, Lord Jesus, I believe you're God. Thank you for dying for me. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That second scenario, like second group of people, very religious, was seen to be pious and working hard, but looking in the wrong direction, looking for man's ability to somehow please a God. It'll never happen. You and I, being born into sin, need a Savior. So religion is not what does it. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So they're hurling insults on him. Come off that cross. But he was born to go to the cross. He was born to hang on that cross. He freely gave of his life. Nobody forced him to do anything. It was on his own doing, saying, not my will, Father, but your will be done. As he knew what he was going to have to go through, not only the sins of the world upon him, but also knowing that he would have to endure to have our sins washed away. There's 39 stripes on his back, the crown of thorns, the abuse by people that he made, but willing, for the joy set before him, willingly endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now at the right hand of the Father. Not by religion, but by that relationship in simple faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You believe that today? I mentioned of Islam. Buddhists utilize morality, meditation, and wisdom. Somehow I'll get there. Somehow I'll be enlightened. Something will connect with me. Well, there's something out there that will connect with people who want to pursue false things. It's called an enemy, Satan, who deceives those. But aren't you glad that through Jesus Christ, our eyes are open unto the truth? Amen. But the God of heaven and earth says to you and I, believing that Jesus died on a cross for you and I to bring salvation, healing, and wholeness to our souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Jesus in John 14:6, many of you know this scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. But aren't you glad he's opened the door for us? For anyone who would believe, all come. He doesn't have classifications on who can come and can't come. For anyone that would believe and come and say, Jesus, I need you. Doesn't matter. Amen. Aren't you glad? That's the only way I got in. How about you? Religion would also say that you've got to fit in certain boxes. You've got to do this. You can't continue to live like somebody on the other side of the tracks. All these things that are requirements for you to feel confident. I'm here to tell you, you'll never feel that confidence. Only just trusting in him by faith. Thank you, Lord, for that. Scenario number two, the religious. Scenario number three, John 19:23-24, it says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to each soldier, and the tunic also. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide where it shall be, whose it shall be. This happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. They divided my garments among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. So this group represents the business as usual crowd. They don't have time to worry about the cross or who was hanging on the cross. Their focus was just on their wants and needs. No time to consider spiritual things. Life is just a gamble anyway. So let's just roll dice to see who gets this seamless woven garment that Jesus had. The hustle and bustle of life, trying to get ahead, just trying to maintain, not able to see the cross. The busyness of life. Hopefully here today you can take a deep breath. I understand the busyness of life. I like being busy. I'm not saying that. I love being busy. How about you? But taking time to in the busyness of life to have a relationship with Jesus. To ask the question, where am I headed anyway? To ask the question, Lord, when my days are done, what will it mean? Stopping in your tracks and Jesus being God's, hey, Lord Jesus, do I know you? Maybe today the busyness of life has made it to where you haven't even thought about Christ or thought about a relationship with him. Or maybe you have a relationship with him, but the busyness of life has you carried away. It's easy with a snowball. If you get involved in a snowball, you see it, and then it gets bigger, and then it just takes off on its own. Life is like a snowball. All of a sudden you're going, and you're busy, and it's rolling, and you're just hanging on. Sometimes the cares of this world are just focused on that. And it's easy to do. Taking care of rent, a mortgage, payments, right? School, kids, grandkids. All those things that are part of life and that are pleasing to God. But they can overtake us, overwhelm us, when we don't stop and say, what about the cross? That group of people, busy, 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 I understand. But not allowing ourselves to be carried away with it. Taking that time and saying, Lord, thank you for purpose in my life. Something about getting busy, too busy, can rob us of our peace. Especially here in America, being busy, noble. It's noble to be busy, 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 right? But I'm taking the time to bring peace and stop and say, Lord, what is it that you want to do in my life? Where am I headed? Don't think that just because you say those things that all of a sudden God's going to say, hey, I want to take you a different direction and you're not going to like it. Some people think that, so they just keep going. I'm not going to New Guinea. I'm not going to Africa. Right? It's funny the things that the enemy can lie to us. And sometimes we keep ourselves busy. We don't realize it, so that we don't ask that question. What about Jesus? What about you, Lord? What about the desires of my heart? What about the things that of you wanting me to have a good life? To love life. To love life. To enjoy life. To have peace. To have his rest. To have his comfort. Sometimes it's hard to do that when we're just busy, 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 busy. We don't think about it. It's like we're running from something and we don't even realize it. We don't even know what's chasing us. But we're sure whatever it is going to make me do something do something that I don't want to do. Let me tell you today, Christ is not that way. I've noticed as I've grown in God, he's changed the desires of my life and my heart. I'm so glad he did. Because some of those desires had dead ends. They really didn't matter in the end. He is the one that'll change those desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Like, life is not just a gamble. Oh, well, you know, these were the cards I was dealt. This is just what's going to happen. This is the way it is. That's not what God wants for our lives. When you relax and take time and talk to him because he loves you as a Savior, he will direct your life. Day by day, we just enjoy him. We enjoy his presence. We enjoy his love. We rest in him, and he'll direct us. As days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months, and months turn into years. And when you rest in him and let him direct you, you'll be amazed where he'll take you. You'll be amazed things. He'll take you places that your flesh can't take you. He'll take you places that your education can't take you. He'll take you places money can't take you. Only by His Spirit in Jesus' name will take you. And along the way, He'll bless you with provision. Along the way, He'll give you great joy in your life, trusting Him, knowing that everything that you're on, that you're facing, He will overcome through His Spirit. Amen? That's a good song. That's a goodie but an oldie. Amen. Amen. I think that scenario number three is business as usual. Christ on the cross, and it's just casting lots. Who'll get these clothes? Just life. Just whatever life will bring me. Amen. You know what? When you do that, then there's no telling what will come your way. But when you're following Him, trusting Him, man, you can trust Him that He's got your every step. You can trust that every struggle He'll bring you past. Everything that tried to hold you back in the struggles of life, He can take that from you. He will redeem you. And it's amazing when we take some time and say, Lord, let's talk. It's good. It's a benefit. It brings peace. It brings strength. Don't allow the enemy to keep you so busy that you can't stop because you're afraid of what you'll hear. I know that I've been there. Many of us have been there. Don't be afraid of that. He loves you. Regardless of where your past is or where you are today, He is able to wash every sin away. He can redeem things. He can redeem those things of hurts and pains. Amen? That's what He does. He's a rewarder, a redeemer. We thank You for that today, Lord. Scenario number four, John 19, 25 through 27. Now beside the cross of Jesus stood His mother, His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, that's John, standing nearby, He said to His mother, Woman, behold your son. Then He said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. As I look at this group, to be honest, we think about it, this group of people, Mary Magdalene, John, the disciple John, are looking at Jesus in bewilderment saying, What has happened? You mean bring your mother into my home? Where are you going, Jesus? Am I never going to see you again? We know from later scripture, none of those disciples knew what was their mind hadn't been opened to the purpose of the cross. We know that when Mary Magdalene went to tell Him, I've seen Him, they laughed at her and said, We don't know. I don't think so, Mary. So they're looking at Him and saying, We thought, Lord, we thought in following You that we had purpose. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ of things that things haven't turned out through different situations in their life. Things happening, life happening, that they think, this is not what I signed up for, Lord. I didn't bargain for this. I didn't think this was going to happen. So they become discouraged. They're looking at bewilderment at the cross and saying, What has happened? All the disciples have scattered. They're hiding. They're afraid. They had been with the One who had done miracles, raised the dead. Amen? Open blind eyes, and now they're saying, What happened, Lord? And I've been there before, too. There's sometimes things can happen in our lives. We say, What happened? And we become bewildered, become discouraged. So we may still be looking at Jesus. We're born again, we're saved. But because of circumstances, we're saying, What happened, Lord? What happened? How did I end up here? I didn't bargain for these circumstances to take place. And so a lifelong discouragement will set in. Are they on their way to heaven? Absolutely. They love Jesus. But a discouragement, something happening where they all of a sudden back up and look at that and say, I didn't bargain for this. Let me tell you that Jesus, His example of raising from the dead, restoring His disciples is a perfect example of what God's doing in His church today. Everything we've seen over the last year and a half, I believe He was restoring people. I believe people's eyes are being opened. I believe He's redeeming time because His word says that He'll restore what the cankerworm and locusts have eaten. His word says that where the enemy has ripped off people, he's got to pay it back seven times. And there's nothing like a saint that who's felt for years even maybe that like, hey, I don't qualify anymore. I didn't sign up for this. All of a sudden realizing, hey, I still love you. You still have purpose. When that type of person comes alive, watch out. It's like David. He has his, well, he didn't wear a dress. But what was that thing? He was worshiping the Lord. He was spinning in front of the people. Honoring God, worshiping, knowing what God had brought him from watching a few sheep for his dad to being a great leader, amen? Killing the enemies of God. And he's swirling and dancing, and his wife looks at him with despise. Amen. When you see enthusiasm in the Lord, let's not despise that. I mean, it's religion that says that we got to be shh. Just as I am. And nothing wrong. But you know what? Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. You can't help but be enthusiastic for what he's done for you. I love it when we praise and worship and people are just with all their heart. That's who they are. They're saying, God, I can't believe what you've done for me. I can't believe what you brought me out of. How can I not worship you with all my heart? How can I not praise you with everything within me? And that's contagious because it breaks off religious mindsets. Now, when we get back to my house after church, then we'll turn the football game on, then we can go nuts. But when we're in here, no. God loves enthusiasm. It says that God dances over us. I couldn't imagine that. How does that look like? My little mind can't even imagine that. How about you? Enthusiastic. I think about the blind man as he's saying, David, or son of David, have mercy on me. And so him saying son of David says the son of God. And they're telling him to be quiet. He yells all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Louder and louder as he's embarrassing people around him. Finally, he gets Jesus' attention. He says, what do you want? I want to see. I don't know about you, but in this day and this hour, I want to see. I want to see what the Spirit is saying today for his church. I want to see today what he has for my life. So I don't mind saying, Jesus, son of David. Jesus saying, what do you want? I want to see. If he'd listened to the crowd, if he'd listened to the world, he would have shut his mouth and remained blind his whole life. Jesus would have walked right by him and he never would have been able to see. Thank God that he said, I'm gonna say it with all my heart, Jesus. It is not just that Jesus wants to hear people screaming, but with all our hearts, Lord, I want to see you more clearly today. Lord, I want to see what's going on around me. I want to see people as you see them, Father. I want your heart for people. I don't know about you, but Chino Valley Family Church is going to be such a people. We already are. We're growing in it. Amen. Amen. That fourth group, they've been downcast. They knew the Lord, but through circumstances, failings of their own. You ever heard of any failings in the Bible from people that were great and mighty? Abraham, David, the list goes on and on. Amen. He's a restorer. I'm telling you, if that's you today, he's right here to restore. The word of God right now is saying to you, he loves you. He wants to restore you. He's here. He's never left you, forsaken you. He's been watching out for you all these years. Amen. He's not disappointed in you. He understands. He undersees your heart. He sees your real heart. Just come to say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for putting me back on that right track. That easy. That easy. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 30:17 says, for I will restore you to health and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying, it is Zion. No one cares for her. That's part of the church. People being an outcast in the church. But this is what the Lord is saying prophetically about the new covenant believer, that he will restore you to health and will heal your wounds. Maybe some people here today saying, that's me, Lord, I receive that. I receive that. That easy. With the presence of his presence here right now. is saying in your heart, thank you, Jesus, that's me. I receive that. The past disappointments, thank you for washing those away. Thank you that you see me as pure and lovely in your sight. Thank you, Lord, that you don't hold things against me. Amen. If he did, we're all in trouble. I say if he did, we're all in trouble. But that's not our God. He's a restorer. Scenario five. You ready for scenario five? The most awesome scenario. One person, maybe only one person in the entire earth, knew what was going on when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Disciples who saw his miracles didn't. Amen. Even Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons cast out of her. Was it seven? It was a good many. Loved him with all her heart, but only one individual. Let's go to Luke 23, 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanging there with was hurling abuse at him. They were hurling abuse at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other responded, the other one that was been condemned to die on a cross on the other side, says, but the other responded, rebuking him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" You know, sin brings condemnation because it only can be washed away with the blood of Jesus. This gentleman hanging on the cross, the least of anybody that was there, was the only one that understood why Jesus was there. Amen. 41, and we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our crimes. But this man has done nothing wrong. So realizing that everybody is born into sin, there's a consequence for sin called death, eternal separation from God. Amen. But there is a Jesus who is the only way to be restored unto life. Amen. This man on the cross, who was justly being crucified, realized that I belong here for my sins, but this man hanging doesn't. 42, and he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. This group of one, represents the person, the man who saw Jesus for who he was. He recognized that Jesus was being condemned for his sin. We are receiving what we deserve for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong. Even while he's hanging on a cross for his crime, he's saying, "You're the Messiah. You're hanging on the cross for my sin. We deserve to be here. All of us deserve to be on a cross for sin. Aren't you one?" I love that. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." We were on the cross for him, but the thing is, he was there in proxy for us. It was like we were there, but he paid the entire cost of our sin as he was hanging there. Think of it that way. If the cross would pay for all your sins, it was like you were there on that cross, but it was him. "I am crucified with him, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, died for me." Amen. As he saw that there, as he was, and the thing is we think of this looking at the cross, that somewhere out there, God, bring God down here. But that criminal, that man that was hanging on the cross, was looking at Jesus eye to eye. He was up at the cross. See, God is down here with us. He's not way out there. He's close to us. He's not somewhere. He's right here. That team of one saying, "You're it." And of all the people there, the least. Sometimes it takes us to humble ourselves and say, "Lord, you're it. You're the one." That individual had no place to turn. Maybe that's you today realizing, you know, sometimes we get ourselves in a box, human nature. We fight everything, try to figure a way, and finally we get so tight, there's nowhere to turn. Turn to him this morning. He's right here. Realize that what that one criminal did, Aren't you glad if you know him that you're like that criminal, that person that realized, I'm here. I'm hanging because I deserve it. And all of us deserve, right? Deserve with the consequences of sin. But him realizing at that point that he died for him, he wasn't going to pay those consequences of death. He was going to be with Jesus in paradise. Having Jesus rose from the grave, and if you know him, he lives inside of you. He has removed the consequences of sin. Amen? He's removed the consequences of sin. I don't know about you, but it amazes me that one person that was an eye level with Jesus knew you're the one. You see him right here today, not far away, somewhere out there in the galaxy. He's not that way. He made you. You're precious in his sight, a reminder for all of us. He's right here to come into your heart if you don't know him. If you know him, he wants to rekindle your heart. The things that have died, he wants to rekindle that. Bring that back to life. He never has left you or forsaken you. If you think back, the Lord will show you things where you thought, Lord, that could have ended up really bad, but you protected me. You might even be here today and you say, I don't really know the Lord. And maybe in your mind you're thinking, you know, there's been times where I could have been wiped out, dead, or circumstances that didn't happen. God was preserving you for such a moment like this to come and know him. He loves you. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that is his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe in him today? Jesus had, you know, if Jesus had only hung on the cross and wasn't raised from the dead, the story wouldn't be complete and we wouldn't be here today. So we're focusing on what happened around the cross. Business as usual. Business as usual. But the fact is he rose from the grave, amen? Let's go to Luke 24, 1 through 7. Listen to this today. Let your heart rejoice. Let him bring peace to you today if you need peace. In Jesus' name, I declare peace over your people. Peace. I don't know about you, but when we were in pre-service prayer, the thing that the Lord just impressed on me is his peace. I receive of his peace this morning. Maybe you need to receive of his peace this morning. That's available to you, regardless of what's going on in your life. Not even, doesn't even have to be bad things. It's just the cares of life sometimes can just wear you down. You're like, wow, Lord. Maybe today just remind yourself that his peace is available. Tell him, thank you for your peace, Lord. I receive of your peace today. So during pre-service prayer, that's what I did. I said, wow, thank you, Lord, for your peace. Luke 24, 1 through 7 says, Mary Magdalene and other women were there. They're the ones when it talks about this group of scriptures. It's Mary Magdalene and a few other women. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in gleaming clothing. Verse 5 says, and as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He's alive. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and being crucified, and on the third day, he would rise from the dead. Amen. I'm going to read this. Let's pray together before we take communion together. But I want to, Romans 8, verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Not immortal bodies. We're not talking about when you go to heaven in your new body, but right now, life to your bodies right now. Life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Aren't you glad that he dwells in you? I don't know if you found yourself relating to any of these scenarios that we talked about today. Business as usual at the foot of the cross. But let me just say this. He is here for everybody. everybody, regardless of the circumstances. A reminder, if you know him, that he loves you. His peace, when you don't have peace, is available. Sometimes it's just a reminder, stop! Maybe today when we take communion, let that say, Lord, I just need your peace today. I need to remember that peace that I've walked in before. Amen. Or maybe today we'll pray. Maybe you said, I need to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. I believe he's God. I believe he died for my sins. Today you can say a prayer with me, that because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that good news? There's good news in the house today. I love it, the good news, when you come to church. People getting saved, people getting encouraged, people stepping out in purpose. That's what church is about. Really, that's what it was laid out to be. Bringing in the lost, amen? Encouraging us and believing in this truth of his grace in our lives, amen? And then stepping out in the purposes of things that God will place in our hearts and lives over time. It doesn't happen in a day, a week, month, a year, but as you continue to look to him, purpose is birthed in your heart. That's why he made you. Amen. Don't you love purpose? Amen. Today we're going to say a prayer, if we can say a prayer today, right there in your seat. If you need to say this prayer for salvation, just let it come out of your mouth with me. Mean it in your heart. And you might be saying, is that all we have to do? Yes. It's by faith. Do I have to join your church? No, we don't even have a place where we can join it. I'm sorry. But you become part of the family of God in the Spirit, amen? Let's pray together. If you're a believer, just say this with me, would you? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you died for all my sins. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for coming into my heart with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you're at the right hand of the Father. I believe you're coming again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Father. You know what that means? I believe everybody in this building can take communion together. Does anybody need an element? If you need an element, can you raise your hand? Nobody? Just one gentleman? That's not bad. Only one person needed an element. Amen. I love taking communion with you guys. I take it with complete confidence, even on the weeks I struggle. We all struggle at some point every week. If you go through a week without struggles, you need to let me know what you've done. But through him, he's made us overcomers, hasn't he? If we go to 1 Corinthians, if you have this, you have to kind of peel down that tab, and then you open it up, and you have the clear one that covers the little cracker thing. Did everybody get it open? Sometimes you got to pray to get it open. But these seem to be better, more better. More better. Amen. So Paul, we're going to just read together with what Paul said and take communion. Then the music team will come together, will come up after this. So Paul's saying, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take that cracker. Let's eat that together. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving your body to be whipped. You think about that, those stripes on his back. Man, for my health, for my well-being, for a clear mind, focus. Amen. Torment gone in Jesus' name. In like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Hear that, the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. So for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. We talked about that in detail today. Until he come. Amen. We proclaim what you accomplished on the cross for us, Lord Jesus. Let's drink the cup together. Amen and amen. Well, once again, happy Easter. You love him today?
Yes.
Amen. As the worship team comes up to play, let's stand up together, can't we? Thank you. Let's stand up together. Get that blood flowing. Those extremities. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do you feel confident in the Lord this morning? Do you feel confident in the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I do. We're going to, as we sing this song, we can be dismissed. But if you need prayer, if you want to come up, we've got some others for the prayer team that can come up. If you need prayer, please come up. If something that you need to have someone agree with you, please do that. Amen. So let me pray and then we'll sing this song. Father, in Jesus' name, join me if you can. If you're comfortable, raise your hands. If you're comfortable, raise your hands. Say, Lord, I just receive of your strength today. Who provides strength? He does, Jesus. He's the one that provides our strength. Lord, we thank you for a blessed week in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for areas where the enemy has been lying to your children would be exposed this week. Lord, I thank you for a new ears to hear your voice afresh and anew this week. Lord, we thank you for things that hindered, those things that were a struggle, Lord, loosening their grip in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for authority over the enemy, Satan, in our lives, because he's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar. Amen. But Jesus being the Spirit of truth. So, Father, we thank you today for the Spirit of truth. And what is truth? He died for my sins and he rose from the grave. Amen? And his Spirit lives in me, giving me victory over the wiles of the devil. And so we thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You guys have a wonderful Easter afternoon. Enjoy friends and family in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Let's sing a song together and then be released. Amen.
His glory.